Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Spirit Airlines appears to be fast disappearing from the airline scene, and a European airline is getting rid of paper boarding passes entirely and only allowing you to check in online. Those stories next in the news.
Each week we dedicate part of the show to making you a smarter traveler, and today at 11:25 we discuss a new phone scam pointed right at travelers and remind you how to keep your money and information safe.
Lots of things are changing at the airline, which carries more passengers in and out of Sacramento than any other, Southwest. At 11:35, we'll talk about some of the changes, when they're coming, and how they might impact your travel decisions.
Our Odds and Ends segment at 11:50 tackles two subjects, the importance of arriving early for your cruise departure, and a short discussion about how some boring behavior on airlines seems to be getting worse.
Oh, in the boring behavior department, I have a story to share about hair on a plane. We're glad you're here. Welcome to today's live edition of The Travel Guys.
Again, here to make you a smarter traveler, whether you want it or not. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Thanks for tagging along. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. We got lots of fun stuff to talk about. Mark, how are you? How's your week been back here in Sacramento area?
I'm good. I've been frantically working on the Sports Leisure Vacations new 2025 catalog all week, heading out on tour Tuesday on a mystery tour, so I can't tell you where we're going. Imagine that people would pay a lot of money to go on a vacation when they don't know where they're going. It's always been one of our most popular products, and on Tuesday we're taking some folks out. So in a couple weeks I'll tell you where we went. It's called the Pieces of History Mystery Tour.
Oh, okay. So it has a title. It can
it does. It
titillate you somewhat, kind of trying to guess where that might be. Well, that'll be fun to hear about.
Yeah. And then also, there was another thing last week. I forgot to mention this, but our first U.S. president ever to live to be 100 years old, Jimmy Carter, celebrated his 100th birthday last week. And, you know, I was a young lad when he was president. And all I can remember is he had some really rotten luck, and he wasn't really considered to be one of the most effective presidents, one of the most effective men to be president. But I will say this, he was probably one of the best men ever to be president.
Yeah, a lot of people that have known Jimmy Carter and been around his work and so forth would agree with you, and he, with his Habitat for Humanities, yep, and all that he's done for people outside of the presidency, and then to be able to do that for as long as he had. His birthday was October 1st, so he's just a few days now over 100. I was looking at a picture that was about 4 days old, and you know, I don't know what you're supposed to look like when you're 100. But
time has taken it. You know, if you're still here at 100, doesn't really matter. Time has taken its toll, but nonetheless, he was a man who, like I said, when he got done being president, was the best part of what he did was after he was president. He took advantage of that bully pulpit to be able to create some things that will live on. Habitat for Humanity will live on long after he has gone. So I think that's probably the best of a human being can hope for in this life, is that you create something that is still here, making life better for people after you're gone. I would say that would be the measure of success that some people would be measured by. Anyway, happy birthday to President Jimmy Carter, who last week turned 100 years old.
There you go. By the way, follow along with the show, and other stuff to make you a smarter traveler can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. And at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition, once again, Mr. Mark Kaufman.
Amtrak says it is aims to compete with hotels as well as airlines. Amtrak's new marketing campaign leans on its customer experience in an effort to leverage recent investments and position Amtrak as a hotel on wheels. And I will tell you something, as we look at possible group long-distance trains for next year, the demand is so high for overnight accommodations on trains. The prices have gone up fairly considerably. The demand is still far outstripping the supply. So if you're thinking about making a long-distance Amtrak trip, we looked at a couple of them for groups for our company and just decided that we couldn't get enough space guaranteed to us to make it worthwhile. So if you're thinking about a long-distance Amtrak trip that involves overnight accommodations on the train, bring your wallet and come early, because the space is going quickly. And Carnival also is reporting unprecedented advanced bookings for 2025, and their 2026 product is already out. They say they've already sold half of their space for next year, and 2026 bookings are off to a good start. Here's what's happened in the cruise business. It used to be that the only people who took cruises were seniors, older folks, and their guests. Maybe a family went along or something like that. You rarely found many people on board a ship in their 20s and 30s if they weren't directly connected to somebody else that was already on board. Now, the cruise lines have realized that this is the demographic use of cruises is all over the place, and that younger people will go on a cruise. They're not really interested, perhaps, in go a bunch of 30-year-old-somethings are not interested in going with a bunch of 70-somethings. But if you create cruise product that is specifically targeted at demographic groups and cruise ships that are targeted at different demographic groups, you can have your cake and eat it too. And that's what the cruise lines have figured out. And that is my, in my opinion, is why cruising is so popular. Also, I think people have realized post-COVID that planning your own travel is a bit treacherous and full of possible headaches and heartaches along the way. And that if maybe somebody else did that for you, like a tour operator or a travel advisor, or heaven forbid, you just called the cruise line and said, here's my credit card, and they did everything else for you. All you had to do was pick out your shore excursions on board. So anyways, I think that's probably why we're seeing an uptick in cruises. Sacramento International Airport has broken ground on a Terminal B parking garage. That's the terminal that Southwest flies out of. If you're an airport user, you know that we just have the one parking garage that kind of sits between the two terminals. It has demand has long since outstripped its supply. So last week they broke ground as part of a new building project out there that's going to involve several parts of the airport. But they've broken ground on a garage that'll be where the Terminal B daily lot is now. So In the short term, parking is going to be, yes, a little tougher at the airport. So I'm going out with a group Tuesday, and we're not going at dark 100 hours, and I'm thinking better plan to get there 15, 20 minutes early so that wherever you have to park, you can get back to be able to service your people. So just that's going to be a challenge for a while till that parking garage gets done. If you're going to the airport and you're not leaving on an dark 100 flight, if you're not leaving before 6 o'clock, you may find that parking, especially as you get deeper into the week, is going to be a little tougher.
They did mention that they are going to be opening a large lot, probably the same one they had before, over by the lot where the waiting area.
Yeah, it's over on the other side of Woodland, I think, or something.
Just about. So it's a long ways, and it's a little difficult to find spaces there, but you'll have to plan ahead. You know, I can drive a bus. Mm-hmm. If you want me to take you out there with the bus and the folks, and we'll just drop you off in front. You know?
Well, if you travel with Sports Leisure Vacations and you're leaving from the airport, you're delivered to the airport in a private car. And you're picked up
heck with that.
At the end of your trip in a car that will take you home. So,
what a deal.
Yeah, one of the most popular services that we offer our people. We started it about 30 years ago, and it has... It allows people to travel who, you know, perhaps don't still drive or have some other issue, but are still perfectly capable of traveling. So anyway, yeah, that's something that we do for our folks. All right. We talked about an airline in Europe scrapping paper boarding passes. This would be Ryanair, which is kind of the no-frills airline of Europe. They will only allow you to check in online. There will be no paper boarding passes. If you require a paper boarding pass, then £20. So the equivalent of about $25 to $30 to get paper boarding passes. If you want to check in at the airport and you're flying Ryanair, there is a 55-pound airport check-in fee. So that would be roughly $70 to check in at the airport. You can check your bags, but you can't check in your body. You have to do that online ahead of time. So all the folks online are asking, you know, is this unreasonable? Is this going to snare? Will there be people who are not going to fly Ryanair? 70% of people on the airline already check in online. So it's an attempt to try to save money on airport personnel. This is what Frontier and Spirit and some other people have tried to do. And how did that work out for them? Well, Spirit Airlines stock is almost down to the penny standard at this point. It's a little over $1 a share. They're talking about declaring a bankruptcy, perhaps as early as next week. That would not mean necessarily that they would stop operating, but it would mean that they would have some protection from some of their creditors because some big piles of debt are coming up soon. So if you have a ticket on Spirit Airlines, there's not any danger, at least in the immediate future, of you not being able to use that ticket. But going down the path here a little bit, that is a possibility that Spirit may not exist anymore. And I will just tell you, the reason this isn't working anymore for Spirit and for Frontier is a number of years ago, they said, hey, you know, airfares are going up. Let's give people a no-frills way to go. If you want to get on the plane without a bag and don't put anything in the overhead and you're willing to sit in the middle seat in the back of the plane for 3 hours, you can go cheap.
But yeah, with that being said, even if they file for bankruptcy and they you know, they have nothing to cut out.
Valid, very valid point. This business model, the reason it worked for a little while and doesn't work now is because all of the other airlines copied it. So you can now buy a no-frills seat on United Airlines. It doesn't include, is all stripped down like Spirit, except you get to fly on a real airline that probably flies to your destination 7 days a week. So if something happens and your flight doesn't go, you don't have to wait 3 days to get out of town. So what has happened is that this business model, which had some value in it a few years back, has now, the competition has basically knocked them out of the water. And so it's time for Spirit and Frontier and those people to move on and be replaced by somebody else who has an idea of how to cut costs and deceive people until they get to the airport and find out that really they would have been better off traveling with a full-service airline. Hey, our folks, our friends at the Fox River Train, who have been guests on the program from time to time, keep sending me press releases about some of the special things. They have all kinds of cool stuff for Halloween. They're taking reservations for their Christmas train and the like. So if you are a train buff and you have never been down to Old Sacramento and ridden the Fox River Train, I strongly suggest, great family activity. Great thing if you're grandparents, great way to take the grandkids out and give them a train ride, something like that. Anyway, lots of special stuff coming up there.
There you go. Yeah, I love the Fox River Train. They have the ones that they're like bikes that are on the tracks.
And oh, yeah, rail bikes. Yeah,
the rail bikes, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, holidays and so forth, Rudy's, it's not that far away for your Christmas parties and so forth. You might just want to start planning ahead, as our friends over at Rudy's always got all kinds of banquet stuff set up, from parties of 8 to 80, either lunch or dinner. If you want to plan a banquet for your employees and so forth this year, you might want to jump ahead of that and give them a call. 961-351-0606. And always great food 7 days a week. And I just want to stress, the Travel Guy special is still alive and well. 6 ounce lobster tail with the fixins for only $29.95. And the nice thing about Rudy's is, you know, if you plan ahead, you can make a reservation. It's never really very crowded, even when the parking lot may look like it is. So check them out, Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House, available for a lunch and dinner. And don't forget, they're right off of Highway 50 at Hazel. Mark, I don't know if this has ever happened in history before, where a musical artist is so popular that airlines are adding flights to one of their destinations for a concert. United Airlines, as you probably heard, added 3 extra round-trip nonstop flights between its hub cities in Vancouver to meet the growing demand of that Taylor Swift girl.
Mm-hmm.
Is that crazy stuff?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, this is not the first time this has happened.
Really?
When I was very little, don't you remember the Beatles and all? I was watching a documentary the other day about how, you know, every time their plane landed, there were all of these crazy kids who were, you know, trying to get a piece of them and all of that kind of jazz. So it's...
You think airlines were adding flights to the cities that they were playing? We know the craziness and the, you know, the intensity that these artists can bring to young people.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I wonder if there's anybody around who could even answer that question. but yeah, she has had an impact everywhere she has gone. I mean, a week doesn't go by that I don't get... I, because we do a travel show and we've done it for a long time, I get news feeds from a lot of different people who are telling me different things that are happening in travel related. And of course, this is travel related because she's creating all of this travel economy wherever she goes. And like I said, a week doesn't go by that somebody doesn't point out that in their community, hotel occupancy is up 20%. Or and of course, people, travel's a supply and demand thing. So the heavier the demand, the higher the prices. That's sort of the way that it works. So not only is she driving economy everywhere she goes, but she's driving economy at higher prices everywhere that she goes. So people are making money off of this lady as she travels around the planet. And yeah, her fans don't seem to mind yet. So good for her. We have some an update here on... Those of us who travel, heck, those of us who breathe and walk around the planet, there are bad people. Technology has been used in a lot of ways to make our lives better. It's also been used by a lot of people to try to capture information or money or different things from unwary people. And one of those scams has reared its head. You know, we've dealt with email scams for a long time. And people calling you on the phone, of course, that was the original scam. And so now they've gotten into the text scamming. And here's what's happening. You get a text from somebody who says, I'm United Airlines. Hi, this is United Airlines, and we're contacting you about your recent reservation. There's a problem, and before we canceled your reservation, we wanted to reach out to you about it. Please call us immediately at, and there'll be a link to a phone number there in the text, or there'll be a link to someplace else that takes you to where the link to the phone number is. So you're going to call this number because you think that, you know, United Airlines is trying to get a hold of me. I just made a reservation 3 days ago. This must be about that. They didn't tell you, you know, about your ticket to Manila or Colorado Springs or whatever. They're reaching. They're fishing to some extent to try to catch you. So the gentleman who reported this to Chris Elliott, the first person who reported it, said he called the number and was told that, well, there was a mistake in your fares on your three tickets, and in order to keep these from being canceled, you'll need to pay roughly $2,000. Do you have your credit card?
Wow.
The guy thought that, you know, something didn't sound quite right.
Like everything.
Yeah. So he said, you know, I said, let me just get back to you on that. Let me double check my records and I'll get back to you. So then he hung up and called United Airlines, who promptly told him that there wasn't anything wrong with his tickets. They weren't about to be canceled. He didn't need to pay an extra $2,000. And all of that was a scam. So he fortunately got out of it before it got too deep. He unfortunately found out later, though, that he did give the scammer some information. And his tickets did end up being canceled.
Wow.
So he had to reinstate them. United took pity on him, didn't charge him any extra cost or anything, even though the fare had gone up. But it took, he explains, it took a lot of his time, several hours of his time, could have cost him a lot of money. And he was saying, you know, this all looked so legit. And so what you have to know is that... airlines don't communicate in this fashion. Hotel chains don't communicate in this fashion. They don't send you a text and say, call us at this number, something is wrong. So if you get a text or an email like that, do what this person did. Immediately go to the general published number for that hotel chain or that airline and call them directly. And say, hey, you know, I have this confirmation or I've made this reservation for this hotel on this date. And I just want to double check and make sure that everything's okay because I've received a suspicious communication. in some cases, it's possible that the people you're contacting may be very appreciative that you've let them know that this is going on. They may already know that it's going on. In this case, Chris Elliott reports that, and I don't know how where he got this information, but about 120 people responded to this and got snagged.
Yes.
Paid extra money for airline tickets. So please, if you're buying an airline ticket or you're reserving a hotel or a cruise or attractions or anything that has to do with travel, and you get a communication back from them that says, hey, this is your confirmation. First of all, if they don't know exactly what it is that you reserved, it will be very vague, like this gentleman's text was. The reservation you made recently, there's a problem with it. There, maybe you didn't make a reservation recently, so they've wasted their time. But that's what's happening here. They're coming after people who they know travel. Perhaps you've gotten your name on a list somewhere, an email list or something. They know that you travel, so they're reaching out, fishing out to you and trying to see if they can catch you in one of these nets. So if you get something like that, stop, take a deep breath, say to yourself, really and truly, would they communicate with me this way? And even if you think the answer is yes, still go back to the original published number, contact the entity, the vendor, and find out what's going on.
Yeah, you know, this is becoming more and more common. You'll get not so much text messages, but there too, but emails from your utilities or from your internet provider, reminding you that, you know what, we're having difficult processing your payment. There must be something wrong. You should call us and link up with us so that we can correct that. And which, in fact, this is not from any of those sources. They're just fishing you so that you'll call up and give them new credit card information or whatever it may be. It's an interesting world we live in, my friends, and the travel guys are here to protect you the best we can. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. All right, Mark, we got a lot to cover here in the back half of the show, so let's get it going. So, some changing at the airlines, which carries more passengers in and out of Sacramento than any other, and that would be Southwest.
Yeah, didn't know if people knew that or not, but Southwest has more flights in and out of Sacramento than all of the other carriers combined.
It's amazing.
So this is really a Southwest town, and airfares out of Sacramento, people who have been around for a while and have traveled for a while, airfares out of Sacramento used to be ridiculous. A lot of people would drive to San Francisco, and Oakland has been known as a low fare airport for a while in order to get a lower fare. I mean, how ridiculous is that? That you would go that far when you had an airport in your own backyard. But the fact of the matter was that the airlines here only flew to hubs, and we were trapped into high fares. When Southwest came to town and started flying to Los Angeles and to Portland and Seattle and to Phoenix, and instead of suddenly the fares were in half. And, of course, nobody charged for baggage at that time, so the baggage thing wasn't as big of a factor as it is now. But at that time, it really revolutionized things in Sacramento. Suddenly, you didn't have to go to Denver anymore, or San Francisco, or in the fog used to be a lot worse in Sacramento in the morning, and a lot of times morning flights couldn't get out of here, and flights that were landing 7:30, 8 o'clock couldn't get in here. So it was flying in and out of Sacramento was very disruptive, and Southwest changed all of that. In addition, Southwest has added nonstops to middle parts of the country, to St. Louis and Kansas City, and because they fly city to city from those airports, you can connect there oftentimes to places that you wouldn't be able to get to otherwise through the mainframe system. So Southwest has really changed the way business has been done, so much so that their business model has somewhat gone out of date. Airlines have figured out that they can charge you $40 to check a bag, and that they can charge you $20 or $30 or $40 or $50 or $100 to get that aisle seat. And if they give you a few extra inches of room at the front part of the plane, why, then you'll be much more likely to pay that extra fee. And it's okay, we don't put fewer seats on the plane, we just cram those poor suckers in the back closer together, so we can make more money off of the people in the front. It works out fine for us. I don't see what your problem is, Mr. or Mrs. Traveler.
Yeah.
So Southwest has had, whether you fly that airline or not, in Sacramento or anywhere else, they have had more impact on the airline industry over the last 20 to 30 years than any other single aspect of the whole thing. And people in Sacramento have benefited probably as much as people in any other city in the country, because this was a very underserved and overcharged air market, and the people at Southwest figured that out. I can remember going down to, used to do a lot of business in Southern California, and having to go down there on a pretty regular basis. That flight to Burbank was like 55 minutes, and it was blocked at an hour and 5 minutes. And they could turn an airplane. It wasn't uncommon for Southwest to turn a plane in 20 minutes. In Burbank, the people got off the front and the back. They got on the front and the back, and we're out of here. That's it. We're done. They probably could get an extra segment or two a day in. Now that's not the case anymore. Some people who like Southwest's way of old way of doing things, get on board and pick out a seat, are fine with that. The airline loses a lot of revenue. The other airlines are upcharging people for two-thirds of the seats on the plane. Southwest is not. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that they're losing a lot of money there. They're losing a lot of money by not charging for baggage. They've insisted that they're not going to charge for baggage anytime soon, but here, Tom, has been the way it's been for a while. In many destinations, Southwest not only didn't charge for bags, but they had the lowest fare, too. Hawaii, this has been the case up until just recently. When Southwest started Hawaiian fares, sometimes their fares were $100 lower each way than any other carrier. And you didn't have to pay for your baggage. And if you were going if you were going to Hawaii for 2 weeks on vacation, you were probably taking more than one bag.
Yeah.
So two bags times 30, 40 bucks times two directions, plus the saving on the airfare, heck, you could spend an extra night or two in Hawaii.
It's kind of like, why would anybody, I used to wonder that, and particularly business class, that flew places that Southwest did, you'd find, and I worked for these companies, that they'd be sticking you on airlines, you'd look at the price of these tickets, and you're going, why are you paying $800-$900 each way for this business trip? And I'm not even sitting in, you know, like the business section. Just going, right? And you look over at Southwest, and they're selling the same thing for $300-$400. Is there any word yet? I have two questions about Southwest. Number one, any hints as to when they're going to start doing the assigned seating in a portion of their plane? And the other question I have is that if you had a flight, let's say you booked a Christmas flight, you got something later in the year, and is there a chance if perhaps they decide that in November they're going to start assigned seating, but you've already booked a flight that is going to occur past that date? What does that mean for you? Is that basically going to mean that you will be part of the unwashed masses in the back of the plane?
No. One of the reasons I assume that Southwest is not doing this immediately is because airlines release their seats. If you wanted to fly someplace in August of next year, United, American, or Delta, or Alaska would all sell you a ticket right now. You can go online. The prices will be there. You can book yourself and get a ticket. It's 11 months in advance. The fares are released. Southwest has always been a little different. For many, 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 many years, their fares were only released 5 to 6 months in advance. Now they're up to about 8 months in advance. My guess is that someday soon they will be up to the 11 months with other carriers. So the reason Southwest is not doing this all immediately is because of exactly what you're talking about. It would create total chaos. So what's going to happen is the assigned seating, from what I'm being told and have read in several different places, haven't talked to anybody directly at Southwest about this, but it seems to be collaborated in enough places that I think there's probably some truth to it. It looks like the assigned seating will start in 2026. So that means that you will be able to start buying a reserved seat on a flight when you make your reservation, I'm guessing sometime towards the end of the first quarter of 2025. So nobody's going to get caught in that scenario you just painted where you've already bought a ticket, now they've changed the rules, and now it's to your disadvantage. They seem to be doing this in the proper fashion so that they can change the system entirely, and nobody will be in that no man's land that you were just describing.
All right. Good answer. Thank you.
The airfares are going to be higher in 2025, and this has a lot to do with Southwest also. Why do I know this? Because I've been putting together a tour catalog for the last week and a half, and I've been looking at airfares all over the country on all kinds of different carriers. And I can tell you that in many cases, Southwest is no longer the lowest fare. Even up and down the coast, like they have consistently been, they are no longer the lowest fare carrier. Their fare is $10 or $20 higher in each direction than some of the other, what we call legacy carriers, Delta, American, United, Alaska carriers like that, full service carriers. So what's happening is Southwest is saying, all right, well, you know, that bag is worth $40 in each direction, so we're going to take back 20 of it. We're going to so really your savings for the bag now is only $20, not 40.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be happy to sell you an assigned seat on board, which will increase our revenue a little bit and will help put us up with the big boys. What has happened is that Southwest success has done them in. Their method of doing things was so successful that it led their competition to try to figure out ways to offset that. They decided not to offset it by competing directly with them, but what they said was, okay, people don't like getting on Southwest and not knowing where they're sitting. So tell you what, for $59, we'll sell you a seat in the front part of the plane. You can have an aisle or a window, whatever you want. You can have six seats across the plane. Just cost you a little bit of extra money. You can get on a little earlier, and of course, you're in the front part of the plane, so you can get off a little earlier. There'll be more room for your overhead stuff. It's only $59 a person. Oh, by the way, that's each direction. But isn't that a good deal? So that's, and some people said, yeah, that's better than getting on and not knowing if there'll be room for my overhead or whether I'm going to sit for 4 hours in a middle seat. And so that's what's happened. The same thing is what's happened with Spirit and Frontier. The market has responded to their business model and has made it somewhat outdated. So Southwest will go to selling you, they are going to have extra legroom seats. You're going to lose an inch off of the seats in the back that were 31-inch are going to be down to 30. And a few rows in the front are going to have extra legroom. And people who get on the plane, there will be no more of this miracle flight bullshit stuff. You won't be able to get on the plane early and fake a disability and then walk off the plane at the end of the flight, having been miraculously cured along the way, because the only seat you'll be able to sit in, if you didn't pay for an extra one, will be those seats in the rear. So that will take care of that particular problem. So for those of you that drives you crazy, that's one good aspect of this, is that that is going to go away. So anyway, a little bit about what's coming. It's not coming right away for Southwest. The changes will be gradual. There are going to be red-eye flights now because their new agreement with their flight attendants allows them to fly flights at different times of the day. You're going to see a Baltimore red-eye out of Sacramento right away. We talked about that last week. That's going to start the first part of the year. And my guess is you may see some red-eyes to other faraway destinations that wouldn't necessarily support service during sunlight hours, so to speak. Any other questions, Mr. Ramon?
Wow. No, that's that brings us up to date on Southwest. You know, it's amazing when I listen to you talk about their history and so forth, that they're a carrier that has kind of cut their own niche. Yep. And here again, out of Sacramento, we're a place that we really are not a destination, not a stop off to anywhere.
No, we're not.
And so, you know, to see things change like they have. Well, all right. We'll be anxious to see how it all comes out in the wash. Hopefully, like you say, there'll be some uptick in prices for the tickets, but you still get the free bags.
Yeah, well, and whether you fly Southwest or you hate the airline or you think they're the greatest thing since Scotch tape, they are still the people driving the market. And that's a benefit for those of us in Sacramento because they have so much service here. So anything that they do that impacts other carriers and causes them to impact competitively will have a benefit to us.
All right. We are the Travel Guys. Don't forget, check us out, TravelGuysRadio.com. In our odds and ends segment coming up, the final part of the program today, we got a couple of interesting things. One of the things we're going to talk about is, well, I don't even know what this is. Mark wrote the headlines and left me in the dark, and that is we're going to talk about something boring behavior on airplanes. perhaps even getting more boring. Again, as always, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. By the way, next week we're going to do the Travel Guys Mailbag, a very popular segment here on the program where we answer your questions. Questions oftentimes, almost completely, come to the mailbag, and then we answer them on the air. And if we don't get to them there, Mark will answer them himself personally. So if you got a question for the Travel Guys, again, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. Right there on the homepage is the spot where you can put your question and send it to Mark. Okay, let's get started on our odds and ends segment since we couldn't think of anything else to call the last segment. Exactly. I like that. It's odds and ends.
Well, it's just stuff. Well, you know, I mean, I could have called it just stuff, but that probably
stuff.
Wouldn't.
Stuff. There you go. Yeah. So, you know, I've always thought the biggest nightmare would be to book a cruise, you know, and you're flying out of Florida or wherever it may be, and you book your plane flight and you get there the morning of the cruise or whatever, and something goes wrong. And I saw a picture the other day. It showed some guy, he was come running up to the dock. You could see the cruise ship starting to pull away, and he's screaming and he's yelling and he's waving his arms in the air. And then all of a sudden, some guy says, "Hey, buddy, that's not your ship. Yours is right there. You're okay. You're okay." But the moment you're looking at that guy panicking, you know, waving at the ship as it's sailing away, thinking that it's his ship, you know, that's what happens to you when you show up late.
You know you're having a bad day when. Yeah. Cruises are expensive, and I mean they're maybe not on a per day basis, but they're a big chunk of money. You're going on a 7-day, a 14-day, a 21-day, a 30-day, and around-the-world cruise, you put out some cash. And whether your airline ticket was included with the price of your cruise or you bought it separately or whatever, the mistake that people make the most when it comes to cruising has nothing to do with the cruise itself. It has to do with the logistics of getting to the cruise ship. You know, the ship comes in. Generally, ships come in the morning. Passengers disembark. Takes a couple hours to get all those people and all that baggage and all that trash and everything off the ship. And then it takes a couple, 3-4 hours for the entire crew to go through the ship, get it all spotless, spick and span, and ready for you. So like a hotel, a ship comes in, and like a hotel, guests leave in the morning. Like a ship, people get off on the last day of the cruise. You got to wait until 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon to be able to get on board, just like you would at a hotel. So when they get ready, generally the ship will pull up anchor somewhere between 7 p.m. and midnight and head out on its trip. Just like on an airline, you know, you've heard stories, I'm sure, where people get to the gate at the airport. You know, they're running to make their connection. They get to the gate and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, you can't board. Boarding is over." And it's like, well, what are you talking about? The plane is still sitting right there. The gate's still attached to the airplane. Well, we're done with boarding. And it doesn't, no matter what you say, you're not getting on that airplane. Same thing with the ship, only bigger. If they say that we were leaving at 12 o'clock, that means that probably the gangplank comes up at 10:30 or 11. Because they've got to get, there's a lot of prep that has to be done for that ship to sail at midnight. So the time it tells you that it's sailing isn't always the last minute you can get on board the ship. Having said all of that, you've created this grand adventure for yourself, perhaps for your family. You've paid a lot of money. You've looked forward to it for a long time. Maybe you're going to, you know, a bucket list place like, you know, one of those cruises we were talking about to the Galapagos Islands or something like that. So why in the world would you take an airplane flight that landed 4 or 5 hours before your cruise is supposed to leave? Why wouldn't you, having invested all that time, money, energy, effort, and dreams, why wouldn't you take a plane the day before?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, you probably would have a little bit of an extra hotel cost, and you're probably going to need a transfer from the ship to the hotel. But, for example, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, these are places in Florida that have a lot of cruise departures. There are a lot of things to do in those towns. A lot of them are really cool things to do. You could easily fill a day. And guess what? If you go out to the airport and they say, "Oh, we're so sorry, but, you know, your plane isn't going to fly tonight. We can get you on a flight tomorrow morning and get you there tomorrow afternoon about 2 o'clock, and you're like, "Phew, well, that'll still work because the cruise doesn't leave until 7. You've allowed yourself that little buffer that might make all the difference in the world. You don't need the buffer when you're coming home, because generally, unless there's a weather issue or something like that, the ship is going to get to port, and you're going to disembark. You're going to be able to make your plane. So the place to leave that extra room is on the outbound, so that you've got an extra day, maybe an extra couple of days. If it's a cool place that you've always wanted to visit, why not give yourself a little bit of extra time and enjoy some time in the port before you take off, and be absolutely certain that you can get there and not have all that stress of, you know, now my flight has been canceled. I wonder if I'm going to make it on time. That's no way to start a vacation. So,
yeah. That's a word to the wise. We've talked about this before, and, you know, new listeners and new situations, and I think that's really sage advice.
And you would say, why would you bring up something that you talked about before? Because the cruise lines are telling us that a higher percentage of people are missing their cruises. So more people than ever are not making it to the port on time. My guess is that this has to do, I don't see the 70-year-old travelers not making it there on time. It's the 30-year-old travelers that aren't making it because they don't have the experience and they haven't had those situations happen to them in the past where they said, you know, that cost me a lot of money when I didn't get there on time. I'm going to make sure I leave a little bit early. So anyway, that's just something that you can do yourself. Now, here's another little topic. A behavior on planes. We seem to have lost the get up and attack the flight attendant or rip off your mask and attack other passengers thing, but the boring behavior is still around, and this sometimes has to do with people's personal habits. A lot of people seem to think that when you get on the plane is a good time to take your shoes off and perhaps your socks off.
And so this is the boring behavior that's gotten worse?
And that maybe perhaps you know, now that your shoes are off and you don't really have anything to do, maybe you could just paint your toenails. I mean, you know, you can pop your foot up there on the back of someone else's seat on the armrest there, and you can, you know, paint your toenails, never mind the fact that your nail polish contains about 900 chemicals that would kill most people when inhaled in very close quarters like that. But, you know, you can paint your nails or you can trim your nails, you know, and just let the pieces fall on the floor. I mean, after all, this is the kind of stuff that's happening, and people are reporting it's happening with greater frequency than it used to be. The other thing that, in addition to feet, and this is the one that happened to me, just happened recently on a flight. I get on the plane. We're about 20 minutes in. The seatbelt sign goes off. I take my laptop out. I set it up on my thing, and I've got it fired up there, and I'm trying to connect to the airline, and I dig down in my bag to get something. I look back up, and there's hair all over the top of my computer. The lady in the seat in front of me has taken her long hair and has put it over the top of the seat.
So that now flip the hair back thing, yeah.
Yeah. Now her hair runs over the top of my computer screen. And at first I didn't really know what to do. I tapped on the seat and she didn't respond, and I tapped on the seat again and she didn't respond, and I said, "Excuse me," and she had headphones in and she didn't respond. I didn't know what to do, so I pulled on her hair just a little bit. I mean, what else am I going to do? And that immediately got her attention, and I said, "I'm so sorry, but your hair is blocking my computer screen." And she looked at me really disgustingly, like I invaded her personal space.
Oh, indeed.
And brought her hair back over the seat. So anyway, when you're on a plane, keep your shoes on, maybe. It's just a thought. Keep your hair to yourself.
Well, I've seen a lot of things, but I haven't seen that one. She must have had really long hair.
Really long.
Okay, it's just about a wrap. Don't forget now, next week it's mailbag time here with the Travel Guys. Mark?
And remember, folks, dance like nobody's watching.